on what station can you hear talk shows, country music, Gaelic music, oldies, funk, and more? Why, it's the University of Central Missouri's The Beat, the best in college radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Oh my goodness, do we have a lot to talk about this week? I'm your host, Colin Sumler, and on today's show, I'll first start by telling you about the spring training games that happened while we were on spring break. Then I'll talk about power rankings, and then I'll talk about the World Baseball Classic and preview the games upcoming this week. That's all coming up on UCM The Beat. So let's start off by seeing how each team did in the first week of March. The Royals went 5-1 with wins against the Rockies, Angels, Athletics, Reds, and Giants. Their one loss was to the Los Angeles Dodgers, which they lost 7-6 with a split squad game, but we'll get to that just a little bit. The Red Sox went 3-0-2, which means that they had 3 wins, no losses, and 2 ties. How do you tie a team in spring training? Come on, guys. What are you doing? Their wins were against the Phillies, the Twins, and the Marlins. They tied the Astros twice. Yes, twice. And each time they tied the Astros, it was the same score, which was 4-4. The Tigers went 4-2 in their first week of March. Their ties were against, they did not tie. I was looking at the wrong one. Their wins were against the Pirates, Orioles, Yankees, and the Phillies. The Astros went 3-0-2. Their ties were against the Boston Red Sox both times, as I said earlier on in the broadcast. Their wins came against the Cardinals, the Braves, and the Nationals. The Pirates only won one game, which, let's be honest, who's really surprised at this point, because the Pirates are not exactly the best team, if we're telling the truth. That one win was against the Minnesota Twins on March 5th. They lost to the Yankees, tied the Blue Jays, tied the Orioles, lost to the Phillies, and then beat the Twins. Instead of boring you guys to death with 2 weeks' worth of games in every team's record during said weeks, let's try something different and break down their current record. Let's start off with my favorite team, the Kansas City Royals. They are currently 14-2 in the Cactus League. For those of you who do not know, the Cactus League is the Royals, Dodgers, Angels, Cubs, White Sox, Mariners, Reds, Padres, Brewers, Athletics, Diamondbacks, Rangers, Rockies, Giants, and Guardians. The Royals are 14-2 in the Cactus League, which is not too shabby, to be honest. That's a pretty good record. But they still got a long way to go if they're going to be contenders because, well, their pitching is not exactly the greatest in the world. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They've won 6 in a row. They've scored 129 runs while only allowing 75, which is a plus 54 run differential. They're 7-2 at home, which for them, home is in Surprise, Arizona. And they're 7-0 on the road. The Dodgers are in second place in the Cactus League. They are 10-4. They're 7-2 in their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. They've scored 97 runs compared to 72 runs allowed, which is a plus 25 run differential. That's pretty good as well. The pitching has been really dominant for the Dodgers for the most part. I mean, 72 runs doesn't really look like it, but hey, it's a start. They are 5-2 at home and 5-2 away. So, pretty even records. The Angels are in third place with a record of 10-5. The Cubs have a record of 10-6. The White Sox have a record of 7-6. Mariners are 8-7. Reds are 8-10. Padres are 8-10. Brewers are 7-9. Athletics are also 7-9. Diamondbacks are 7-10. The Rangers are 7-11. Hey, 7-11. One of my favorite gas stations. Rangers are also Rangers. 6-10, the Rockies. The Giants are also 6-11. And finally, rounding out the Cactus League is the Cleveland Guardians with a record of 5-10. Now let's move on to the Grapefruit League. These are pretty interesting names, I gotta be honest. The Boston Red Sox are in first place in the Cactus League with a record of 9-4. Blue Jays are in second place, 11-6, not too shabby of a record, especially considering that, well, they got, I don't know. Moving on, the Cardinals are 9-5. The Astros are 7-5, despite losing Justin Verlander somehow. I don't know how they're 7-5 with that pitching, but the lineup has done pretty decent. Speaking of the Cardinals, I don't know how they are doing without Yadier Molina or Albert Pujols, both of which retired at the beginning of this season. The Phillies are 8-7. The Twins are also 8-7. The Rays are 8-7. There's three teams that are 8-7, guys. The Tigers are 10-9. The Braves are 7-7. The Yankees are 8-9, even with Aaron Judge. The Mets are 7-8 somehow. I don't know how they would be with that pitching. I mean, Max Scherzer, you know, Justin Verlander, Taijuan Walker, they're all good pitchers. The Orioles are 7-9. The Nationals are 6-8. The Pirates, to nobody's surprise, are 4-10. And the Marlins are 3-11. Let's look at the top 10 lineups heading into the 2023 season. At number one, I'm going to put the Houston Astros, and here's why. All right. The Astros have a great lineup consisting of Jose Altuve, Jeremy Peña, Jose Abreu, Michael Brantley. They also have, they've got a lot of good players on that team. You know, they've got some good pitching. I got to be honest. I did not expect the Astros pitching to do much of anything because Justin Verlander's gone. He was their number one starter. Framber Valdez is still somewhat developing, but all he throws is breaking balls. Next up, we got the San Diego Padres. The Padres have a great lineup, okay? There's no spitting on it. The Padres have an amazing lineup, and I think it's going to look something like this. We got Fernando Tatis Jr. leading it off in left field. Yes, I know left field, he's not used to that yet, but he will. The reason he's in left field is because, well, Xander Bogaerts came in to the... Now, this is according to MLB.com. I forgot to mention that. Number one, Houston Astros. You got Jose Altuve leading off at second. Jeremy Peña at shortstop. Yordan Alvarez at left field. Alex Bregman at third. Kyle Tucker in right. Batting fifth. Batting sixth, Jose Abreu at first base. Batting seventh, designated hitter Michael Brantley. Batting eighth, Chaz McCormick in center field. And finally, batting ninth, the catcher, Martin Maldonado, who still has a good arm. Now, in the previous version of this list, Correa was on the Mets, and they were at the number one spot. But after the Mets kind of gave him up for pretty much nothing, the Astros are at number one. They ranked sixth in the majors in weighted runs created plus. This is according to MLB.com, of course. And eighth in runs, they scored 737 in 2022. And that was without the RBI machine known as Jose Abreu and with Brantley's sweet swing on the shelf for all but 64 games. Next is the San Diego Padres. Fernando Tatis Jr., as I said before, leading it off in left field. He's in left field because, like I said before, Xander Bogaerts is the shortstop. He'll learn left field, but he's going to be serving a 20-game suspension for performance-enhancing drugs, unfortunately. That's not going to help his case much. Batting second, the right fielder Juan Soto. Batting third, the third baseman Manny Machado. Batting fourth, the shortstop Xander Bogaerts. Batting fifth, the first baseman Jake Cronenworth. Batting sixth, the designated hitter Matt Carpenter. Batting seventh, the second baseman Hyeseong Kim. Batting eighth, the catcher Austin Nola. And finally, rounding it out at number nine, it's going to be Trent Grisham. My goodness, that top of the lineup is stacked with Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto, and Xander Bogaerts. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. You heard it here first. Number three, I'm going to have the Toronto Blue Jays. You got George Springer leading it off, Bo Bichette at shortstop, with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. batting third at first base, Alejandro Kirk as the catcher, Matt Chapman as the third baseman, Dalton Varsho, who they got from the Arizona Diamondbacks this past offseason, in left field. Batting seventh, the designated hitter Brandon Belt, who they got from San Francisco. Batting eighth, second baseman Santiago Espinal. And finally, batting ninth, rounding it out, the center fielder Kevin Kiermaier. At number four, the St. Louis Cardinals. All right, Tommy Edman at shortstop, Wilson Contreras at catcher, Paul Goldschmidt at first base, Nolan Arenado at third, Brendan Donovan at second base, Tyler O'Neill in left, Lars Nootbaar, yes, that actually is a baseball player, Lars Nootbaar in right field, designated hitter is Juan Yepes, and finally rounding it out, batting at the center fielder, Dylan Carlson. Moving on to number five, the Atlanta Braves. They have a very good lineup this year. Ronald Acuna Jr. in right field, Michael Harris II in center field, Austin Riley at third base, Matt Olson at first base, Sean Murphy the catcher, Travis d'Arnaud as the designated hitter, Ozzie Albies as the second baseman, Marcelo Zuna as the left fielder, and Vaughn Grissom as the shortstop. Number six, the New York Mets. Brandon Nimmo in center field, Starling Marte in right, Francisco Lindor at shortstop, Pete Alonso at first, Jeff McNeil at second, Daniel Vogelbach as the designated hitter, Mark Canna as the left fielder, Eduardo Escobar at third base, and finally rounding it out at catcher, Omar Narvaez. Number seven is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Their lineup consists of Mookie Betts in right field, Freddie Freeman at first, Will Smith as the catcher. No, not Will Smith the pitcher, Will Smith the catcher, obviously. Max Muncy at second, J.D. Martinez as the designated hitter, Gavin Lux at shortstop, Chris Taylor in left field, Miguel Vargas at third base, and finally rounding it out is James Outman at center field. Now they lost both Trey Turner and Justin Turner. No, they're not brothers, I promise. In the offseason, but they're still a good team, you know. They're a high market team. Next up is the Philadelphia Phillies at number eight. Leading it off, a designated hitter is Kyle Schwarber, batting second, shortstop, Trey Turner, JT Realmuto as the catcher, Bryce Harper in right field. He'll begin the season on the injured list following his Tommy John surgery in the offseason. Tommy John surgery takes a long time to recover from, especially if you're a pitcher or an outfielder who has to throw the ball a lot of the time. Number five, batting fifth, Rhys Hoskins at first base. Batting sixth, Nick Castellanos in left field. Batting seventh, Alec Bohm at third base. Bryson Scott at second base. Batting eighth and batting ninth, rounding it out, Brandon Marsh in center field. Number nine is the New York Yankees. Their lineup consists of Harrison Bader in center field, Aaron Judge in right, Anthony Rizzo at first base, Giancarlo Stanton as the designated hitter, Gleyber Torres as the second baseman, Josh Donaldson as the third baseman, Jose Trevino as the catcher, Oswald Peraza as the shortstop, Aaron Hicks as the left fielder. Now, finally, number 10, the Cleveland Guardians. They have a very good lineup. I'm going to be honest. This lineup kind of scares me. Stephen Kwan leading it off in left field, batting second. Ahmed Rosario, the shortstop, batting third. This bat scares me, guys. Jose Ramirez, one of the best third basemen in the entire MLB. Batting fourth, Josh Bell at first base. Batting fifth, Josh Naylor as the DH. Oscar Gonzalez in right field as the batting sixth. Batting seventh, the second baseman, Andres Jimenez. Batting eighth, the catcher, Mike Zunino. And finally, rounding it out at number nine is Miles Straw. Speaking of which, March Madness is right around the corner, guys. And who is my March Madness champion? I've been asked this a lot of times, and I'm going to be honest. I'm going to go with Alabama here just because they're the number one overall seed. Now, most experts are saying it's going to be Houston. However, Houston had one of the easiest schedules in the entire season. So when they face a big dog opponent like KU, I think they're going to go down. All right, guys, let's take a quick break. Coming up, I'll be talking about power rankings. You're listening to Inside the Diamond right here on UCM The Beat.
Did you know that it costs $0 to make someone smile? A simple act of kindness can go a long way. You may walk past tons of people a day, not even knowing their story. Someone could probably be having one of the worst days, but a simple compliment on their outfit or even helping them out with a small task can change a bad day to a good one. No matter what, always try to give your neighbor a reason to smile.
Tobacco use affects youths all across the United States. Millions of youth are at risk for disease and even death due to tobacco use. Talk to your kids about tobacco use and how it can affect their lungs. Help keep the future of this nation safe from tobacco-related illnesses.
According to a study by IBM, 95% of all cybersecurity breaches result from human error. That adds up to about $3.13 million of loss in 2020 alone, and accounts for acts like downloading infected files or software and storing weak passwords in easy-to-find places. When everything is online, you can't afford to not be. Protect yourself and others online. Learn more and how at CISA.gov.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. I help people solve difficult and trying personal problems every day on my TV show, but there's one problem that just got me stumped. Childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. That's one in five kids who may not know where their next meal is coming from, despite the fact that there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food out there to feed them all. Now, I don't know about you, but that is unacceptable to me. Luckily, the Feeding America network of good people is out there collecting surplus food and giving hope to hungry children and their families at local food banks all across the country. But let's face it, they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Blood drives are a significant event. 4.5 million people need a transfusion each year. One out of seven people entering a hospital need blood, and only 37% of the United States population is eligible to donate blood. It only takes about an hour to save a life. Even one pint of blood can save up to 3 people's lives. So, if you want to help, please visit redcrossblood.org to set up an appointment today.
You are now turned in to the dopest college radio station, UCM The Beat. Keep it locked. UCM The Beat.
All right, guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Let's talk about the power rankings this week. And we're going to go in reverse order this time instead of the usual order that I do, which is 1 through 30. We're going to go 30 through 1. So let's get it started off. I forgot to mention before the break, this is according to a reporter on Bleacher Report. At number 30, they have the Oakland Athletics. I agree with this because after trading away Matt Olson, Matt Chapman, Sean Manaea, and Chris Bassett last offseason, and Frankie Montas over the summer, the Athletics front office has continued to slash the roster to bits this winter by dealing Sean Murphy, Cole Irvin, and A.J. Puck. At this point, the cost-cutting measures have turned this into a mediocre Triple-A roster, and it's an absolute joke that reliever Trevor May is going to be the highest player, the highest-paid player on the team with a $7 million salary, okay? This is ridiculous. This squad, I'm going to be honest, guys, this squad could lose 120 games. Number 29, they have the Washington Nationals. I agree with that. There's a real chance that Patrick Corbin, the same guy who went 6-19 last year with an ERA of 6.31 in 152 and two-thirds innings, is going to be the opening day starter for the Nationals. That is not a number one starter. A number one starter is an ace, someone who pitches good. And that's not Patrick Corbin. It never has been. Just look at his record last year, 6-19, which I said earlier, and a 6.31 ERA. An ace has to have it under 3 or under 4. If you get it under 4 or 3, that's good. Other than that, it's horrible. That should be all you need to know about where expectations belong for the upcoming season. At the least, the continued development of guys like C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, Cade Cavalli, and Keibert Ruiz will provide a glimmer of hope for the future, but it will be an upset if they avoid 100 losses, which I don't think they can. At number 28, they have the Detroit Tigers. I agree with that one as well. A year after aggressively spending in free agency with the additions of Javier Baez and Eduardo Rodriguez, the Tigers have a new front office and appear to be prepared to take a step backward in hope of two steps forward down the line. Success will not be measured in wins and losses. Instead, it will hinge on whether young players like Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green, Matt Manning, and Casey Mize, once he returns from Tommy John surgery, can make a step forward in their development and provide a foundation to build around. At number 27, the Cincinnati Reds. Yeah, I'm going to agree with this one as well. Man, they're on a roll with these. It is quickly becoming an annual tradition for Reds team president Phil Castellini to emerge from his winter slumber and promptly place his foot directly in his mouth the first opportunity he has to speak in front of fans. With offseason additions like Will Myers, Luke Weaver, and Chad Pinder, of course, you know, Chad Pinder's good. Doing little to move the needle for a team that finished 62-100 last year, it's likely going to be another long season for this team. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, though, in the form of one of the best farm systems in baseball. But that tunnel stretches well beyond 2023. Number 26, Colorado Rockies. What's a realistic best-case scenario for the Rockies? Well, it's only this. Chris Bryant stays healthy for a whole season. Ezekiel Tovar is this year's version of Jeremy Peña in the starting shortstop role as a rookie. Kyle Freeland and Herman Marquez anchor a starting rotation that exceeds expectations. And they finished 30 games back in the NL West standings instead of 43 games back like they did in 2022. Now, they won't be the worst team in baseball, but they might be the most directionless. Number 25, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, the Pirates had some nice additions this offseason, bringing back Andrew McCutchen along with G-Man Choi and Carlos Santana to bolster the offense. They also signed Rich Hill, Vince Velasquez, and defensive-minded catcher Austin Hedges to help support a young pitching staff. It's still hard for this team. It's still hard to envision this team contending in 2023 with its projected starting rotation. But the continued development of key Brian Hayes, O'Neill Cruz, and Ronzi Contreras should be fun to watch. And there is more young talent on the way. If you don't know the name Indy Rodriguez, you will soon enough. At number 24, Kansas City Royals. Double-digit win improvement on last year's 65-97 finish seems doable. So that means they're going to finish 75-87. Not bad of a record. But they traded away some young talent like Adalberto Mondesi, Michael A. Taylor, which opened up playing time for Drew Waters and Michael Massey. The duo could join the young core of Bobby Witt Jr., Brady Singer, MJ Melendez, Vinny Pasquantino, and Daniel Lynch as the Royals look for homegrown, sustainable success once again. In the meantime, they did well to plug some veteran pieces into the starting rotation by re-signing Zach Greinke and also adding Jordan Lyles and Ryan Yarbrough in free agency. Number 23, Miami Marlins. The Marlins have a new look top of the lineup after adding Luis Arraez and Gene Segura this offseason, but there is still the question of who will drive them in. A healthy Jazz Chisholm could be a 30-30 threat, 30 home runs and 30 stolen bases for those of you who do not know. But the trio of Garrett Cooper, Avisaíl García, and Jorge Soler behind him is middling at best. The starting rotation will again help keep them in games, especially if Jesús Luzardo and Edward Cabrera can build off last year's success, but not enough was done to improve an offense that ranked near the bottom in runs scored last year. They were 28th, and team OPS once again is on base plus slugging. Number 22, San Francisco Giants. I'm going to agree with that one as well. They finished 81-81 last year. They were expected to make a major splash in free agency, and after nearly reeling in both Aaron Judge and Carlos Correa, they ended up walking away with a consolation prize of Mitch Haniger, Michael Conforto, Sean Manaea, and Ross Stripling. When you consider they lost Carlos Rodon in free agency, there's a case to be made that the pitching staff actually got worse, and little was done to improve the middle-of-the-road bullpen. A lot is now riding on top pitching prospect Kyle Harrison making an impact in the often-injured duo of Haniger and Conforto staying healthy and productive. Matching last year's 81-81 finish could be tough. At number 21, Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm going to agree with that one because here's the thing. The Diamondbacks, now they're a dark horse pick to contend for a wild card spot. The 1-2 punch of Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly was quietly one of the best in baseball in 2022. And the starting rotation could be a major strength if Ryan Nelson and Dre Jameson build off terrific September debuts. Offensively, they will benefit greatly from fall seasons of Corbin Carroll and Jake McCarthy and the under-the-radar additions of Gabriel Moreno and Kyle Lewis give the team two more young pieces with impact potential. This squad is far more talented than its 74-88 finish last season. Number 20, Boston Red Sox. They finished in the AL East last place last season, and after losing Xander Bogaerts and J.D. Martinez in free agency, that could be where they're heading once again. It's hard to get too excited about the offseason additions of Justin Turner, Corey Kluber, Kenley Jansen, and Adam Duvall when those guys have an average age of nearly 36 years old. Now, that's pretty old for a baseball player. Those signings feel more like a means of appeasing the fan base than an actual push to contend. And while there is enough talent for a record, for a 500 record, legitimate contention might be out of reach. Number 19, Chicago Cubs. Big splash of the offseason for the Chicago Cubs was the addition of shortstop Dansby Swanson on a 7-year, $177 million deal. But he is far from the only new face in the clubhouse, as Jameson Taillon, Trey Mancini, Michael Fulmer, Cody Bellinger, Brad Boxberger, Eric Hosmer, and Tucker Barnhart were also added in free agency. They could improve on last year's 74-88 finish, but we'll just have to wait and see it for the season. Number 18, Baltimore Orioles. They were one of the biggest surprises of the 2022 season, finishing 83-79 just 1 year after they lost 110 games. The arrival of catcher Adley Rutschman felt like a turning point for the franchise, and more dynamic talent is on the way. Number 17, Texas Rangers. I feel like this should be a little bit higher considering their pitching staff with Jacob deGrom, Nathan Eovaldi, Andrew Heaney, Martin Perez, and John Gray. All of those are very talented. They also have Jake Odorizzi and Danny Duffy as potential depth should one of those starters go down with an injury. The lineup is still top-heavy behind Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Nate Lowe, and Adolis Garcia. Number 16, I'm going to take the Chicago White Sox, but with a new manager, I don't think they're going to get back on track because they lost Jose Abreu and they only added Andrew Benintendi and Mike Clevenger, who currently under investigation by the MLB. This offseason, they did not do anything whatsoever except for worsen their roster. Finally, at number 15, we got the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm going to agree with that one. Brewers got worse somehow. They added William Contreras and Jesse Winker to the middle of the lineup. So, did they do enough to push the Brewers over the top? They still have one of the best rotations in baseball, led by Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff. And a healthy season from Freddy Peralta could, again, give them a three-headed monster. But that does not seem like it's enough to make a title push. The question is whether they have done enough to improve or if they are just the same good, not great team we've seen over the last several years. Number 14, Minnesota Twins. With a full season of Tyler Malley, a healthy Kenta Maeda, and newcomer Pablo Lopez slotted alongside Sonny Gray and rookie standout Joe Ryan, the Twins suddenly have one of the deepest starting rotations in baseball. Meanwhile, getting Carlos Correa back in the fold is a huge boost for the offense, and buying low on Joey Gallo could pay dividends in a post-shift world. They even found a viable replacement for Byron Buxton if he misses time again in Michael A. Taylor. This team looks poised to give Cleveland a run for its money in the AL Central. At number 13, I'm going to take the Los Angeles Angels. I think for the Angels to contend once again, they need a healthy season for Mike Trout and as well as, Shohei Ohtani. Number 12, I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Rays. They still have a good rotation and healthy season from Brandon Lau and Tyler Glasnow should provide a major in-house boost. Don't sleep on Curtis Meade either in the AL Rookie of the Year race. Shane McClanahan and Drew Rasmussen and Jeffrey Springs all put together career years in 2022 as well. So Shane McClanahan's going to be the ace of this staff without a doubt. Tyler Glasnow is the second starter. Number 11, we got the St. Louis Cardinals. They're loaded offensively with Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt once again anchoring a lineup that features a ton of versatility and multiple young hitters on the rise vying for playing time. The question is starting pitching. Will a rotation of Adam Wainwright, Miles Michaelis, Jordan Montgomery, Jack Flaherty, and Steven Matz allow this team to contend? The upside of that group is high, but so is the risk. Flaherty will be the X factor as he enters a contract year looking to rebound from a pair of injury-plagued seasons that saw him pitch a combined 114 and a third innings. Number 10, I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners. They're still a good team, you know, with Julio Rodriguez, and their pitching is absolutely dominant. Number 9, I'm going to take the Cleveland Guardians. Cleveland still is a good team. They acquired Josh Bell in the offseason, and Jose Ramirez is still in the middle of that lineup. Number 8, I'm going to take the Toronto Blue Jays. They're a fantastic team with Dalton Varsho, Brandon Belt, Kevin Kiermaier, and they also added Chris Bassett and Eric Swanson on the pitching side of things. Bounce back season from Jose Berríos would go a long way in making them a serious threat to win the AL pennant. Number 7, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Not many teams can lose Trey Turner, Tyler Anderson, Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger, Andrew Heaney, Chris Martin, and others and still be considered a World Series contender. But that speaks to how much talent is still on the Dodgers roster. That said, they will be relying more heavily on young players this year in the trio of Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, and Noah Syndergaard in the starting rotation could make or break their season. Number 6, Philadelphia Phillies. They had a surprise run to the NL pennant last year. The Phillies added Trey Turner on a massive 11-year, $300 million deal, while also signing Taijuan Walker to shore up the starting rotation and bolstering the relief corps with Gregory Soto, Craig Kimbrell, and Matt Strom. Even with Bryce Harper sidelined to start the year as he recovers from Tommy John surgery, this is a stacked roster. And he could be back by the All-Star break. Number 5, the San Diego Padres. I agree with this as well. Their rotation is good with Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, Blake Snell, and Nick Martinez. And Fernando Tatis Jr. is also going to be back this year. It's easy to dream of what an offense of Tatis, Soto, Bogarts, Machado, and Cronenworth could do once they are at full strength. Number 4, New York Yankees. Bringing back Aaron Judge was huge for the Yankees. It was also huge to add the addition of Carlos Rodon as a second ace alongside Garrett Cole. Number 3, New York Mets. They're pinning their World Series hopes on the right arms of 38-year-old Max Scherzer and 39-year-old Justin Verlander. It's a risky play, but it's also hard to bet against that duo, as they've shown zero signs of slowing down. Number 2, Atlanta Braves. They had a quiet offseason relative to their top NL East rival, but healthy season from Ronald Acuna Jr. and Ozzy Albies, the return of Mike Soroka, and a full season of Raisel Iglesias at the back of the bullpen should provide some in-house improvement. And finally, rounding it out at number 1, we got the Houston Astros, and this is the team to beat in 2023, guys. You heard it here first. All right, guys, we're going to take another quick break. Coming up, I'll be talking about the World Baseball Classic and what's going on in that. Plus, I'll recap the Royals game from this past week. You're listening to Inside the Diamond on UCM The Beat.
In 2020, men died by suicide 3.88 times more than women. That number is way too high. That's why the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is available to all men. Call 988 if you are struggling. You're not alone. There is help.
1 in 9 people worldwide go to bed hungry each night. That's why UCM students and faculty are encouraged to visit the UCM Campus Cupboard. Campus Cupboard is a volunteer-based charity dedicated to alleviating hunger and financial burdens in the UCM community. Any UCM faculty, staff member, or student who presents a valid ID may select 10 items per week from Campus Cupboard. Campus Cupboard is located in the lower level of the UCM Student Rec and Wellness Center and is open Tuesday through Thursday from 3 to 5:30 p.m.
UCM The Beat, the one and only radio station of the University of Central Missouri.
Guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. So let's talk about the Royals spring training so far and how it's going. And guys, it's going fantastic. Let me tell you. On February 28th, the Royals beat the Cleveland Guardians by a final score of 12-6. They scored six runs in the ninth inning to win it. Their starters basically were out as soon as the ninth inning hit because most of the players were participating in the World Baseball Classic and they had probably workouts to go to. The next day, the Rockies lost to the Royals 8-6. The Royals scored five runs in that inning to win the game for them. Nick Lofton doubled in Vinny Pasquantino and Matt Beatty. That was pretty much the only starters that participated in this game. They scored six runs in the ninth inning. They were down 6-3 and somehow came back. They then proceeded to beat the Los Angeles Angels 8-4. Now, Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez, and Salvador Perez all had very good days. Salvi drove in three. MJ Melendez, he drove in a pair. And Bobby Witt Jr. drove in Kyle Isbell. And Freddie Freeman added on a homer in the bottom of the eighth inning to add insult to injury. On Friday, March 3rd, the Royals beat the A's 6-4. The only starters that were notable in that game were Hunter Dozier and Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby Witt Jr. having an RBI single and Hunter Dozier having an RBI double to score Michael Massey. On Saturday, the Royals had a split squad game. They won against the Cincinnati Reds 12-6, but unfortunately they could not get the job done against the Los Angeles Dodgers as they fell 7-6. Zach Greinke started that game. MJ Melendez homered in the first inning against the Reds. Matt Duffy then doubled in Nick Prado. MJ Melendez then added on a sac fly in the second inning. Matt Duffy singled in Nick Prado in the third. Nick Prado scored on a wild pitch in the fifth. Tucker Bradley homered in the seventh. CJ Alexander homered in the ninth. And finally, rounding it out, that was pretty much the entire starters. Now, Bobby Witt Jr. against the Dodgers went 2-for-3 with a run scored. Michael Massey hit a three-run bomb. I mean, an absolute missile shot. It was a pretty impressive drive, I gotta say. The Royals struck first on a Franmil Reyes RBI single. Bobby Witt Jr. scored. Michael Massey drove in Parker Bates in the bottom of the sixth inning to tie the game at three, and then the Dodgers pretty much poured it on from that point. On March 5th, the Royals beat the San Francisco Giants by a final score of 5-1, making their record 9-2 up to that point. Kyle Isbell singled in. Nick Prado, then Matt Duffy advanced to third. Kyle Isbell advanced to second on a fielding error by the right fielder, which was unfortunate. The Royals were up 4-0 in the fourth inning, and then Nick Prado added on a sacrifice fly by driving in MJ Melendez, and that was all the scoring up to that point for the Royals. They end up winning 5-1. The next day, they won 10-1 against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Brady Singer started that game. He went three innings, gave up two hits and five strikeouts. Royals pitchers have not walked that many this spring training. I'm going to be honest, I did not expect that because they were near the bottom of the league last year in first pitch strikes, but they're a pretty good team still. Let's go over what happened. Michael Massey had a home run in the bottom of the first inning. Bottom of the second inning rolls around. Darren Blanco doubled in Franmil Reyes. Freddie Fermin then singled in Nate Eaton. Freddie Fermin then doubled in Nate Eaton again. Bobby Wood Jr. had a sacrifice fly to score Darren Blanco. That was pretty much all the starters at this point, as most of them had moved on to the World Baseball Classic with Brady Singer, Salvador Perez, and the like, all being out with, well, you know, On March 8th, the Royals absolutely poured it on, guys. They won 14-5 against the Chicago White Sox. Franmil Reyes had a bases-loaded walk in the first inning. Jackie Bradley Jr. came down from third to score. Yes, I said Jackie Bradley Jr. because here's the thing, guys. He is a Kansas City Royal now. I know. Shocking. Then Michael Massey hit a grand slam. Scored 5 runs in the first inning, bottom of the second inning, and at this point, guys, the game's over. I watched this game on TV and I was like, no, this game's over. I'm going to stop watching. And it ended up getting worse for the White Sox as they would go on to allow 3 more runs. 2 of them coming on sacrifice flies. The next day, the Royals beat Great Britain 8-1. Yes, I say Great Britain because here's the thing. They had an exhibition game against Great Britain. I know, it was kind of confusing. But in that game, Matt Beattie hit a 3-run homer. He also had another RBI. He had 4 RBIs on the day. Hey, pretty good, actually. And the lone run scored in the game against the San Diego Padres the next day was a home run by Tyler Tolbert off of Domingo Tapia. No starters had any significant stats. Royals beat the Brewers again 12-2 on Saturday. They scored 4 runs in the first, 1 in the third, 3 in the sixth, 1 in the seventh, and 3 in the ninth to win 12-2, and I'm impressed with this offense so far. And then yesterday, rounding out the Cleveland Guardians. I was talking about March 12th. The Royals beat the Guardians 7-6. No notable starters there. Today, the Royals have a split squad, and I'm taking the Royals in both games because the offense looks very good to start out the spring training. I know it's just spring training, but let's move on to the World Baseball Classic and see how each team is doing. Cuba is 2-2. Italy is 2-2. Pretty much all the teams in Pool A, which includes Cuba, Italy, the Netherlands, Panama, and Chinese Taipei, are all 2-2. Japan is 4-0. Australia is 3-1. Korea is 2-2. The Czech Republic is 1-3. And China is 0-4. In Pool C, the USA is 2-1. Canada is 1-1. Colombia is 1-1. Mexico's 1-1, and Great Britain is in last place at 1-2. Venezuela's 2-0. Puerto Rico's 2-1. The Dominican Republic is 1-1. Israel is 1-1 as well, and Nicaragua is 0-3 to start out the World Baseball Classic. Right now, the only game that's going on is Canada and Colombia, and that is scoreless in the bottom of the third inning. Canada and the USA played yesterday, and the USA completely dominated. I mean, absolutely obliterated Canada. The score was 12-1, and there's actually some different rules in the World Baseball Classic compared to the MLB, but I'll talk about those in the next upcoming segment. Guys, we're going to take a quick break coming up. I'll be talking about spring training games this week, who will come out on top, and why I think they will win. Plus, stick around to the end to hear the different rules in the World Baseball Classic compared to the MLB spring training. You're listening to Inside the Diamond right here on UCM The Beat.
Did you know that millions of animals are either abused or abandoned every year in the United States? Donate to your local animal shelter today. And if you have room in your home, why not adopt a furry little friend to add to your family? Be a part of the change. Be a part of saving a helpless animal's life.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. I don't know if you've noticed, but we got a lot of food in this country. A lot of peaches, a lot of corn, a lot of apples, a lot of everything. We've got so much food that we can't even eat it all. So if we got all this extra food, how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? I just don't get it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to the hungry kids who need it. They can get you food even if you live in Idaho or Alaska or somewhere crazy like that. This isn't complicated. We got extra food and we've got hungry kids. Feeding America's done the math. Now it's your turn. Support Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. I know you got internet on your phone, so what are you waiting for? We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Time in the making, but it's finally here.
UCM The Beat.
Guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Let's talk about spring training games coming up this week. First off, we got a lot of games today. Games that are already going on. The Royals and the Mariners. I'm taking the Royals on that one, and I'm also taking the Royals against the Cincinnati Reds as the Royals have a split squad game today. The Braves and the Phillies are going on right now, and that game is 15-2 Braves in the top of the ninth inning. I'm going to take the Braves in that one, obviously, because the game's almost over. Angels and Guardians is just about to get underway. I'm going to take the Los Angeles Angels. The Guardians just have not looked good at all in spring training. The Athletics and the White Sox, I'm going to take the White Sox in that one. The Giants and the Diamondbacks, I'm going to go ahead and take the San Francisco Giants in that one. Blue Jays and Yankees later on tonight, I'm going to take the New York Yankees because Garrett Cole's pitching in that game. The Rockies and the Cubs, I'm going to take the Chicago Cubs. They have a better roster than the Colorado Rockies combined. Tomorrow, we got the Royals and the Rangers. I'm going to take the Royals again as well, obviously. The Rays and the Red Sox tomorrow. I'm going to take the Red Sox because Corey Kluber is pitching that game. And, yes, if that name sounds familiar, Corey Kluber is the pitcher that always, always killed the Royals when he was with the Cleveland Guardians slash the name before. Moving on, we got the Astros and the Braves, the World Series rematch from a couple of years ago. I am going to take the Houston Astros in this one. Actually, I'm going to change my mind and go with the Atlanta Braves because their offense today obviously looked very ecstatic. They looked very good. The Phillies and the Yankees are also coming up this week. I'm going to take the Philadelphia Phillies. Aaron Nola's pitching tomorrow against Luis Severino. Pirates and the Blue Jays. Come on, is this even a question, guys? I'm going to take the Blue Jays easily because the Pirates just, they suck. All right. They're 4-11. That's pathetic. Even I could do better. The Cardinals and the Mets. I'm going to take the New York Mets in that one because the Mets have a good roster, you know. Not to say that the Cardinals don't have a good roster, but without Yadier Molina, I don't see how they do much of anything this year. The Nationals and the Marlins. I'm going to take the Miami Marlins easily because Patrick Corbin's pitching tomorrow. And anytime Patrick Corbin pitches 9 times out of 10, you're going to lose. The Cubs and the Reds play tomorrow. I'm going to take the Chicago Cubs. Cubs have a better roster than the Reds. It's not even close. Rockies and Dodgers. I'm taking the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw's on the mound tomorrow. Guardians and Padres. I'm going to hit the Padres easily. And finally, rounding it out on Wednesday, Brewers and the Diamondbacks. I'm going to take the Milwaukee Brewers. On Thursday, Athletics and Royals. I'm taking the Royals. Chris Bubich has looked very good to start out spring training so far. He's 1-0 with a 0 ERA in starting rotation, of course. He's not the only one competing for a rotation spot, though. Daniel Lynch is also competing for a rotation spot. Next up, we get the Houston Astros and the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm going to take the Astros in this one. The Astros have a better roster. Jeremy Peña, Jose Altuve, even though he's playing in the World Baseball Classic right now, he's still very talented. Tampa Bay Rays and Minnesota Twins. I'm going to take the Minnesota Twins in this one. Carlos Correa is absolutely phenomenal. Joe Ryan, the pitcher for tomorrow, is also very good. Nasty slider. Good fastball. Braves and Rays tomorrow as well. And it's at Tropicana Field. I know they play spring training games at home ballparks. It doesn't really make sense to me. But I'm going to go with the Atlanta Braves once again. Padres and Rockies. I'm going to take the Padres all the way. Giants and Mariners, I'm going to take the Mariners all the way. Julio Rodriguez, even though he's not even on the team. They still have a very good roster, very good pitching, good hitting. Dodgers and Rangers, I'm going to take the Dodgers in this one. Pirates, Yankees, I'm taking the Yankees. I don't think anything else needs to be said. Tigers and the Phillies, I'm going to take the Tigers. Blue Jays and the Orioles, I'm taking the Blue Jays all the way. Mets and the Nationals, I'm taking the Mets. Let's move on to Sunday. The Royals have another split squad game. These ones against the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. I'll take both the Royals in those matchups because they're just better. The rosters are way better than what people are believing, to be honest with you. Tigers and Nationals, I'm going to take the Detroit Tigers because the Nationals are awful right now. The Pirates and the Orioles, I'm going to take the Orioles. The Orioles have another game against the New York Yankees. I'm going to take the New York Yankees in that one. The Cardinals and the Mets, I'm taking the Mets all the way. The Astros and the Marlins, I'm taking the Marlins. Rockies and Guardians, I'll take the Guardians in that one. The Athletics and the Dodgers. I'm going to take the Dodgers. Angels and the Giants. I'm going to take the San Francisco. Actually, no, I'm going to take the Angels. You guys fell for that one, didn't you? All right, guys, thanks for joining me on this fourth episode of Inside the Diamond. Join me next week where I recap the World Baseball Classic and talk to you about rosters for the upcoming season. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Once again, have a great week, everybody. And as always, remember, go Royals!